Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Erin Racine and I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so glad that you are joining us, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us online. We'd love for you to sign in. There are pads located at the end of the pews. We'd love for you to take those and sign in and pass it down so that we can know that you're joining us today. If you're with us online, there should be a link on the screen or in the chat. And if you're a visitor, we would especially love to hear from you. And if you'd give us your contact information, we would love to be in touch with you. And now, let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship the risen Christ this morning.
Proclaim together the good news of Easter. Christ is risen.
Thank you.
from tombs of pain and doubt, fear and death.
We are Easter people. Hallelujah is our song.
We are emerging into the wonder of faith with hope in our hearts.
We are Easter people. Hallelujah is our song.
Jesus calls to us by name, inviting us into forgiveness and freedom.
We are Easter people. Hallelujah is our song.
Let us worship our risen Lord with gratitude and joy.
For we are Easter people, and hallelujah is our song.
Please join me in our Easter collect. God of glory, you have made us Easter people through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. As our alleluias rise with joy, grant that we might faithfully proclaim the good news, share in Christ's redeeming work, and cultivate hope and peace by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, O God, we offer you our personal confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Would you join with me in the prayer from Illumination that is found in your order of worship? O risen Christ, open us to the power of your resurrection as we hear it proclaimed anew this day, that we too might rise to new life in you. Amen.
Hear now this reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come. See the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Great is the mystery of the gospel. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Oh, I needed this music today. I needed the brass. I needed the choir. I needed the sunshine. I needed the good news of the gospel. For I was struggling yesterday. I was still very much in a Good Friday place yesterday. And there are several reasons for that. One is that for the first time in many years, I had to preach on Good Friday. Normally, my sermon prep practice is that I start studying and working on my Sunday sermon earlier in the week, and Friday I devote to composing the sermon. So I'm living with the text, and I would have been living with the Easter text all week. But I preached at the service that we had at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church on Friday night. And so I had Good Friday on my heart and mind all week. There were seven of us preachers, and each one of us was given one of Jesus' last sayings on the cross. And I was called upon to preach Jesus' words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it wasn't hard to write that sermon. One of the main reasons it's been hard to live into Easter this year is because as a community, we have been living a two-week-long Good Friday. Since the horrible events on March 27th at Covenant School, we have been a community in shock and in grief. And with all of the turmoil that has come from that in recent days, it has just felt heavy for all of us. And so Good Friday was a time to name all of that and lay it all out before God and the community of believers. And I had told myself that I had all day Saturday to get ready for Easter and to prepare a good word for us on Easter morning. And then yesterday was about as dreary as it gets. In Scotland, they have a word for it. It's called dríth. It just means it's not really raining. It's just the air is wet and everything's gray. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not feeling this good news of resurrection, and I'm called upon to preach. So what am I going to do? And finally, when the rain stopped, I set out on a walk to begin praying and thinking. And one of the things that God revealed to me was that it felt pretty much like that Holy Saturday 2,000 years ago when the followers of Jesus were deeply grieving his death and his loss. When it was the Sabbath day and there was nothing they could do and they just had to sit in their grief. I think about those 11 disciples of Jesus who on Friday night when he was arrested had fled into the darkness. They were hiding in fear and with good reason. Because the Roman Empire, if they executed an enemy of the state, they often went after all of his followers too. And so their lives were in danger. They had good reason to be afraid and be hiding. And that's where they were on Saturday. And I think about the women who had watched Jesus die on the cross. As Matthew tells the story, there were three of them: Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and, as Matthew says, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. The three of them had watched Joseph of Arimathea place Jesus' body in a tomb and roll the stone in front of it. They had even watched as the soldiers came by and sealed the tomb with some sort of extra kind of sealant, so he was doubly in there, doubly over and finished. Their hope was lost. And they had been such faithful followers of Jesus. He had healed Mary Magdalene, casting seven demons out from her, and she had followed him faithfully all through Galilee and all the way to Jerusalem. And Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, if we piece all together all the clues from Matthew's gospel, this is probably Jesus' mother, watching her child be buried and sealed up behind a tomb, never to see him or touch him again. They were all in a place of despair. It looked to them like death had had the final word. It looked to them like the empire had crushed their beloved and their hopes. And they had nothing that they could do. And so they waited through the hours of the Sabbath on Saturday. And then for some reason, I don't know why, two of the women, Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother, woke up early on Sunday morning, and they went to the tomb. Now, there was nothing left they could do. They didn't go, in Matthew's version, to anoint Jesus' body or to do anything. They just went to sit there and be present to what had happened. Maybe you've done something like that, too. I know I have. Gone to sit at the graveside of someone we've lost and loved. There's some comfort that comes from that. Maybe they needed closure. I don't know why, but they were still present to that grief and that death. And I think it's because they showed up. It's because they were present there that something happened. I think it's a beautiful part of this story that I had never really noticed before. I think God waited for those women to show up. And as soon as they sat down to grieve and to cry, the show started. There was an earthquake. And then an angel descended from heaven and rolled the stone away. And the women are watching all of this happen. And then the angel sat down on the stone as if to say, "What do you think of that?" And then as they sat there shocked, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you came here to see Jesus who was crucified. I know you came here expecting to see death. I know you came here thinking that death had had the final word and that hope was lost. But let me tell you something. He is not here. He was already gone before the stone was rolled away. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay." And so I imagine the women getting a little bit closer, and then the angel leans in and says, "Now I got something for you to do. I want you to go and tell his disciples that he is risen and that he will meet them in Galilee, just like he told them he would." And so the women in this moment seem to believe. I mean, Matthew says they feel joy and fear and all of these things all at once, but they take off running. They leave quickly, and they're headed out on their mission. They don't need any more instructions. It seems they believe what has happened, and they're going to tell the disciples. But even so, they get an extra gift of grace. For the risen Christ stops them in their tracks. Even as they're going about their mission, Jesus appears and says, "Greetings." I love that. It's just an ordinary greeting. "Hey." And the women fall at his feet. And these two women who had loved Jesus so deeply, the woman who had loved him since before the day he was born, were able to take hold of him once again and worship him as their risen Lord. And he lets them see him in all of his glory. And then he says exactly what the angel had said. No need to repeat it again, but he does it anyway. It says, "Go." Well, he does add one really special word. He says, "Go and tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee." He's never called the disciples his brothers before. And they're still scattered. They're still holding the guilt and shame of deserting him and denying him. They're still scared out of their wits. And even so, Jesus claims them once again as his family. That's such a beautiful, forgiving, gracious word that Jesus offers in this moment. "Go and tell my brothers, go and collect them wherever they are. Tell them not to be afraid. Tell them I've got it. I've got them. Go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. I have got work for you to do." And so at the very end of the gospel, we see it. The disciples and the women have all gathered in Galilee where Jesus told them to. They're on the top of some mountain. Maybe it's the mountain where Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, or the mountain where he was transfigured in front of some of the disciples. But he gathers them all around him, and they can see all around. Galilee was known as Galilee of the Gentiles. So they can look all around them, and there Jesus says, "All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and instructing them in all of the ways that I have commanded you." And we know Jesus' commandments from the Sermon on the Mount. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. Go and tell the world of my love. Show the world my love. Tell it to the mountaintops, to everyone in every nation, that God loves them unconditionally, and that I am inviting them to live the way of love as my disciples. They had work to do, and so they went. And my friends, we have work to do. As the people of God, living in this place, in this moment, we have the work of love cut out for us to go and be the people who live and proclaim the unconditional love of God, and to do everything we can to shape this community, to shape this world in the way of Christ. But we don't do it on our own. And in those moments when our knees are sagging and our arms grow weary and our hearts are breaking, we can remember that the power of the resurrection is a gift to us, that the risen Christ comes to us. We don't have to conjure him up. He has been given to us. And just as he said to those disciples all gathered on the mountaintop, he says to us as we go, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Thanks be to God.
Would you stand together as we say the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team as we pray for them throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks, and they can be placed in the offering plate as they are passed. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever. Lord, we imagine that such words are present in the hearts of the two Marys that first heard the report from the angel, and then as they encountered Jesus on the road. These words, and so many more. We're thankful today for your witness to us through Jesus Christ, your expression of love, mercy, and grace, your offering of an everlasting life that begins as we sit here breathing the air you created. We are thankful for the power that you use not for your own benefit, but for ours. In death, you forgave us. In resurrection, you fill us with life. We also give thanks for the revelation of your love that began with the words of Mary and Mary to the other disciples. We give thanks for the perseverance they and so many others have lived out to ensure that your life-saving message is shining bright for all the world to see. We pray that our lives will mimic their tenacity in ensuring those around us know that you make our hearts beat, that you inform the justice we seek for all people, that you give us hope to live the life we have. Today we join the Marys in offering our words of surprise and joy. Surprise at the affection you have for every one of us despite our misgivings and failings. Surprise at the lengths you would take to ensure that we have access to you for all eternity. And surprise at the change you work inside us, remaking each of us into mirrors of your glory. And joy. Joy at getting to experience all of this freely without price. With that palpable surprise and joy, we lift up our hearts to you and ask that you would mold them to be more like yours. May we seek to be changed by our encounters with you, so changed that a new life is formed where your will is done. May we seek those places you have called us to go into with our newfound life and participate in the change you are bringing about in the world. Lord, the last few weeks have been painful for our community. We've asked many questions and pleaded for action. Help us not to grow weary, but to draw upon your strength that is present in your resurrection. We ask for wisdom's help in deciding our next steps. Open our hearts to the winds of your Spirit so we will travel in the direction of healing and hope. As we profess the promises of your beloved community, may our lives be beacons of the hope you fill us with. And we know that hope in you does not disappoint. God, with hope nourishing our hearts, we open them to you now, offering you those things that weigh us down, those things that cause us to worry, those things that draw our attention away from you. We lift up our homes, our family, our community. We lift up our state, our country, and our world. We lift up those who suffer today. We lift up the forgotten, the overlooked, those whose voice has been silenced. We lift up the passions that stir our hearts to action. And we open our hearts to express our praise for what kindles the fires of joy within each of us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We ask all of this in the holy name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On this day of joy and celebration, we respond to God's great love and grace through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Those of you worshiping with us online are invited to give via the options listed in the screen. Here in the sanctuary, ushers will be passing offering plates that can be passed down the rows. Today's offertory anthem was given by Jeff and Kim Rice in honor of longtime choir members Leon Rader and Jewel McGee Rader. May we give as we are able, knowing that the God of resurrection will turn all that we offer into gifts that will transform the world.
Thank you.
my friends, we have the best news to share with the world. Death has been defeated. Love has overcome it all. And we are called to go and tell, to go and be, to go and live with resurrection power.